You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on August 24th, 2022, and is titled Doubt. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
I thought that's the first thing you did, get your Bible so you can figure out who this God is that just saved your sorry self. What do you mean you don't know about the Bible? You've been hanging out around here since your grandma put the first brick in the building. What do you mean you don't know about the Bible? That's the pandemic. We don't do the Bible. When you don't do the Bible in its entirety, then you get to doubt. Because everybody has an opinion. And men's opinions are wavering. Well, you know, if we stand on that, old so-and-so may leave, and he got a pretty good job. He's pretty faithful. I love that one. Oh, our people are faithful. They're givers. Take that one outside. I ain't doing that one. No, if your people are faithful, then they bear fruit, and it shows up in their family. And as soon as it shows up in their family, it starts showing up somewhere else. Pretty soon it'll show up somewhere else. Glory of God starts being revealed. You're bearing fruit because you walk by faith, not by sight, and you don't doubt. You know what you know, and you believe, and you stand on it. People that can hear the voice of God know it's Him and do what He says. That you'll get in a small situation where you simply just tell your wife, hold on a minute, honey, let's ride this out. I think this boat's going somewhere, but I ain't driving. Let's play along for just a minute. Or you'll get a report one day that says your wife has cancer. And you're the guy that has put your hands on thousands of people and watched them recover instantly. Watched two dead guys get up while you were standing there. I've had my hands all over my wife. Wasn't she well? And you can finally hear. So you don't doubt, you're not confused, and you hear the voice of God say, sorry, but you're going through this one. Count it pure joy, my brethren, when you face trials of many kind, because that's what's going to help you get your big boy britches on. Thank God for some of the hard stuff we've had to go through so we depended on hearing God and we could stay hooked. And you hear the voice of God says, she's going to be fine, but you're going through it. She's a tough little bugger, I'll tell you that. How many of y'all have met my wife in the last 10 years, just in the last 10 years. Anybody didn't know her longer than that, it wouldn't be a one of you thought she ever had one thing wrong with her. Other than that guy that walks in with her, other than that, she's perfect. Come from hearing and knowing and believing and not doubting, hey, we're going to be fine. Listen, I could tell you that whole story, that whole trip. It was crazy. 8 unnecessary surgeries from doctors just screwing up. Take her in one day just to move a port from one side to the other. And I'm standing there in the lobby and the nurse comes down and she said, they're going to bust your wife's chest open because a piece of plastic fell in the bottom of her heart and they got to go get it out. But if you'll go up this way and down that way and over this way, you can meet her in the hall on her way by to the cardiac thing. I'm sorry, but I said a wordy dirt. What the... You know how faithful God is? At that very moment, Thurman and Rhonda were going through the very same thing. And all of a sudden, I get this phone call right then, and Thurman, he said, where you at? I said, well, I'm standing here. I said, I guess I'm going to go meet my wife on the way to get her chest busted open. I don't know what the crap's going on. He said, be right there. I run up the deal, and there she was, prayed with her on the way by. And the Lord reminded me, he said, I told you, she'll be fine. Let me tell you something, just in case it ever happens to you. If they really screw up and they know it, and they think you might sue them or something, there's some rooms down the hallway there at Covenant. Stinking nice rooms. Like they're like the honeymoon suite. We got one of them for 4 days. They didn't have to bust her chest open. They kept going in and had to fish around. And if they could get that thing out of there, then they wasn't going. In the last try, they got that thing, a piece of that plastic had come off it, somehow went in there. They got it out. And we got to stay in the honeymoon suite down there for about 4 days. Now, I'm telling you, how many of y'all ever been in the hospital and hit the button and it just take them forever to get there? If I needed one more ice cube in my Coke, I could hit the button and here they come, boy. Had to remember, not doubt. Why is this going? God, I thought you said this was going to be okay. It is. Count it pure joy. I just want to see if it smells like me and you're going to stay the course. Yeah, I think I will, God. We've been doing it on some little stuff. Two or three bad feed yard deals, one thing or another. Yes, I'm staying hooked. You'll get me to the other side and we won't even smell like smoke. We'll just stay hooked. Man, when you start flip-flopping around. So when I get ready to wind up here, I want us to look at our own house. You see, the Bible says judgment comes to the house of God first. People are all waiting on God to judge the earth, and they're waiting on somebody to beam you up. And let me tell you something. You better just sit still and do a little self-examination for a minute, because ain't nobody going nowhere for a minute. Okay? Just get that real clear. Judgment comes to the house of God first. So we all got a good house cleaning coming. Woe be it to any one of you who cause these little ones of mine to stumble, for it would be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and throw it in the bottom of the lake. That's what it says in here. Well, if you'll pray this prayer and blow this snot, you're going to heaven and nobody can take that away. Whoops. Let's do some water baptism talk. Holy buckets. Marriage. Where in the world did that go? The so-called institution of religion, the so-called church, now has a confusing message about genderism and everything else. Why are we confused? Why would you cherry pick scriptures? And listen, you bring me anybody from any tribe and I'll play either side of the debate. I don't care which. I can do music in the sanctuary. I can do women preaching. I can do homosexuality. I can do gifts of tongues and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Just pick a spot and I'll get on either side because I know all the cherry pick scriptures because I've been arguing these points for the last 26 years. I've been Muhammadized. I've been Calvinized. I've been galvanized. I've been all of it. Why? Because I don't doubt the Word of God. Why? Because I do know the Word of God. I just did it and then I practiced it. When I called my wife today and told her that I had to call her back and told her, honey, I'm sorry I didn't tell you everything. I roped a little bit today. You know why? Because I got some things that I've been putting into practice. And they didn't work. They were causing me to doubt. That doubt really bothers me. And I needed to do something to put this into practice just for a minute, to let myself know we're still doing right. Everything's still okay. I rode good this afternoon. Little horse was good. My new little horse was good. Our new little horse, me and Robin's new little horse. He's really good. I think he's going to be a little member of the family. Now I know I can't sell one because Greg's got 7 and I got 8. And if I sell one, we'll be even. So I can't do that. That's just unmale. You can't do that. Oh, Don, he's going to have to buy another one to keep up. I know a guy that owns a horse sale. But hey, so today I couldn't stand it any longer. I want to get on. I want to see if this is going to work. Why are we not the same way in our walk? You ready to get up in the morning and try something out? You ready to get up in the morning and create another testimony? You ready to get up in the morning and live it in front of somebody to where they go, now wait a minute. How'd that happen? How's that work? One last quick testimony, and then I'm going to be done. Because this Bible doesn't create doubt. The Holy Spirit doesn't create doubt. God's not the author of confusion. Questioning things is not doubt. Curiosity is not doubt. It's just seeking truth. But when you can't make up your mind after you found truth, now you double-minded. It's divided the house. A house divided can't stand. So here we are. But way back in the day when I first got born again, I wanted everybody I knew, I wanted them all to know Jesus. So I took every opportunity I could. I went about it the wrong way a lot. I mean, I was going to take that Bible and beat Jesus into them. And this, you know, I went through all the phases. That's fine. It was all done in love. I loved them. So we get to the calf rope. No, Cranle, he knows a lot of these stories, but my buddy Wayne Needham had started a calf roping deal, and he asked me if I'd come preach. And so I told him I would, but I wasn't going to do it at 6:30 in the morning before we started and get them 2 or 3 faithful Sunday morning guys to come. But if he would stop the roping in the middle of the roping, then I'd be glad to ride my horse out in the arena and speak out of my Bible for about 15, 20 minutes and call it good. Well, that Double E Arena up there in Amarillo was first place. And you know some of them Amarillo boys. Some of them old Kevro was pretty tough. Well, I got my first dose of heckling. Like literally a pile of guys, 6 or 8 of them, sitting over at the bucking chutes, hollering at me while I'm reading my Bible. Why do we need Jesus at the calf roping? Why do we need all your God stuff? Get the blank out of the arena. All that was going on. Went on for a couple times till they found out I wasn't going away. But some of these guys, I really wanted to see them come to Jesus. Just wasn't going good. And then one day, I'm in Stephenville at the finals. And I'm standing there at the rope and chute talking to a guy. And they announce that a man has passed out in the practice arena. And I told the guy I was standing there with, I said, I got to go. And I went back there. And I'd already been through this once before with a guy in the ditch on I-40. Where I jumped out of my pickup and had to cross 4 lanes of traffic to get to a dead guy laying in the ditch. Laid down on top of him and he got up. In the name of Jesus, he got up. This guy's laying there. He's dead. I don't know what a dead guy looks like. This guy's dead. He done leaked out every hole, and he's blew his dusty shirt. They're calling for ambulances and everything else. I'm standing over top of this guy now. Now I'm not doing it in front of 10 strangers. I'm doing this in front of 200 people I know. And some of them, the guys that have hollered at me for preaching. I'm standing there in front of this guy, and I'm doing the Christian thing. I'm praying for him. I know exactly. I said, Lord, this guy looks bad. You should help him. I'm just telling you. I mean, that's how a lot of people pray when you don't know how to pray. Well, Lord, you should help this guy. He looks bad. We're all standing there. To this day, I wouldn't know who it was other than an angel of God. But there's a hand came up on both shoulders. And a woman's voice in this ear. And there wasn't any women around that calf rope. And she said, brother, you should get down there and pray for that man. And I fell on top of him and grabbed him around the legs and went to praying. And he started coughing. And he got up. Ambulance got there, carried him off in just a couple hours. They big deal about how he's well and he's healed. All that stuff. It was awesome. But here's the part I want to tell you. You see, it's about the glory of God being revealed in the temple and the removal of doubt so you can operate in faith. Here in a minute, one of them guys, me and Gary both know him good, he called me over there, one of the hecklers. We get over there behind the pickup. See, I've changed my mind about altar calls. Altar calls are not moments of in time, one moment. An altar call lasts a lifetime. You bow your knee to Jesus and you leave it there the rest of your life. That's how that works. He called me over there. He said, hey, I got to talk to you. So I saw what happened over there a little while ago. I said, yeah, what do you think happened? He said, that was God. I said, yes, sir. It's the one I've been trying to tell y'all about. It's him. Would you like to know him? We prayed. Now, how that went from that day on, I got an idea here, there, and around. But that moment, he saw God. I could stand here tonight and give you 100 stories from other people's mouths, the very same testimony. I saw God while you were doing what you were doing. Do you know how many of them stories happened in here? Not very many. Out there? I saw God. That should be our testimony. I saw God. I didn't see you act like a Christian. I saw God. The only way somebody will see God while you're standing there is when you don't doubt and you believe and you obey and you hear and you operate in everything in the kingdom of God and you do it on purpose, with a purpose, not because that's what you do, but it's because that's who you are. That's who I am. Just me. Putting britches on one leg at a time. Still got a memory. Still got two languages. This one I'm learning to use, the other one I'm trying to put away. Oh, y'all thought I was talking about custom. I'm talking about redneck in English. Redneck does have a kind of an extended vocabulary. No, I'm just not making light of things. I'm not promoting any kind of bad behavior, but I'm just telling you, is the Christian lifestyle our lifestyle? Or is this something we just try to do? Is this who we are by faith? Or are we just still trying to always figure it out because our religion creates so much doubt? Why in the world would a pastor tell me not to baptize somebody in his church because they throw water on his head when he was a baby? Why would you say that? Apparently that guy has unfinished business. Get out of the way and shut up until he gets finished. We want him to be finished so the glory of God can be revealed. We want him not to doubt. Quit telling people that you believe in spiritual manifestations, but don't let it happen in here. That only ain't going to work. Quit making people feel guilty because they're doctoring sick cattle on a Sunday morning rather than coming to town and listening to Moses one more time. I could just go on and on and on. Don't create doubt about a guitar in your sanctuary when you listen to country western in your pickup. Sorry. But your little hay shed is not the temple. I hate to burst your bubble. I don't care what they told you at the head office, but your hay shed is not the temple. It can come down just as easy as it went up. The temple of God in the earth today will not be destroyed. Will not be destroyed. Will not. And his glory will be revealed. But we can't doubt. Have to walk by faith. Trust in God. It's hard to trust God because we practice on trusting people. I may know what people do in post-toasties. That's another redneck phrase. Yeah, once you get done enough, it gets hard to trust. Have you tried God in the last day or two to see if he's faithful? Have you proclaimed, have you declared his word and found him to be faithful? Okay. Now you know one more time you can trust him. Trust him. The body of Christ in America today should not be double-minded. Shouldn't be tossed to and fro with every whim that comes from man. We should be on the same page, serving one God in one baptism, in one spirit, in one faith, in one kingdom, and doing it all to his glory, that a lost and dying dark world. See, when you was telling that, Murph, about them little pockets of light, oh, man, that's awesome. So some of them that go creepy crawly in the night, Nancy and Chuck, they might see the light. They might see the light. The glory. That's who we are. That's who we should be. The glory. When people think of you, they should think of God. He lives in us. That's all I got for tonight. If you don't have that tonight, you don't. If you're doubting your salvation tonight, listen, it happens all the time. And you, how many people have doubted their salvation and went to the preacher and he said, hey, I was there when you prayed the prayer. You're fine. You're fine. You being fine is not my testimony. You'll have to tell me when you're fine. And until you're fine, let's keep doing this until you're fine. When we first started doing this, there was people that every week they come down to the altar and get saved. Robin asked me one time, and she said, so what about them ones that come down there every week? Well, I expect it better keep coming until I get it fixed. I expect every week there's something inside that says, hey, I got to do this again. I don't care if you're jumping in a water tank, you're laying down at the altar. I don't care what you're doing. Get okay with God and get where God's okay with you. That's it. So, y'all good with that? Y'all want to try that in the morning? Or on the way home tonight? Some of you guys got a long way to drive. Try it on your way home. Look for an opportunity. Get up tomorrow And don't sit around and go, man, I roped terrible yesterday. Or man, I was a terrible Christian yesterday. I'm just going to quit. I can't do this. No, get up, go rope a dummy. Go do something. Try it again. Keep going. Look for a spot to succeed. Look for a place to put your faith.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.